Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I have been digging into all the planning for this fall's first live event back together, my Extraordinary Women Connect Gala on September 28th, where we will be featuring five of the recently named top 25 most powerful women in business by the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am so excited to be back live in Denver, Colorado again. And if you'd like to join us for an evening of fun, connection, and powerful business women, I invite you to join us. I'm also deep into the planning of our 7th annual Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference in Golden, Colorado, live once again, where we will be raising up the voice, visibility, and businesses of the influencer and changemaker women who will be joining us on November 11th through 13th. The speaker lineup is amazing. And we landed Women and Portia as our gold sponsor. Yes, we will be revving up the room a bit. And this event has become a must attend for so many of the women in my community year on year. We'd love to have you join us in our powerful circle and really get your voice out into the world in a bigger way, grow your business in a bigger way. We are being called, my friends, to show up, to make an impact, to really deliver into our world in big ways. And that's what we're going to be doing at Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference on November 11th through 13th. Both of these events have me so stoked to be back in circle with all of the amazing women in my community. If you're ready to be raising up your business, your community, and your impact, we'd love to have you join us. All the details are at camigellner.com. So go check it out and get your tickets and join us. So speaking of impact, finding ways to give back and raise up those around us is one of the foundations of Extraordinary Women Radio and my Extraordinary Women Connect community. Today's guest, Gina Raposa Johnson, is the master at giving back. It started as a young girl, and today she shares so many inspirational stories of how she sought out the need and then stepped into action. She is going to inspire you. Gina is a holistic business coach, mentor, marketing guru, and Reiki master, guiding her clients through to grow their businesses and make an impact with their businesses. The members of her exclusive community of entrepreneurs have coined her the connector because she is renowned for connecting people to people. It sounds a bit like my own mantra of connecting great women to great women. No wonder we connected at a soul level. You are going to love Gina. Let's meet Gina Raposa Johnson. Well, welcome, Gina. It is so awesome to have you here on Extraordinary Women Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. We got to meet through Ladies Power Lunch, and that's such a great group. And, I'm just so glad to know you.
Thank you so much. Yes, I enjoy following you and your platform, and I've been enjoying all of your nuggets of wisdom as well.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. So I want to start with a defining moment, a defining time in your life, something that forever shaped your life. Can you recall something, a path that changed your pathway, the journey you were on? What was it? How did things turn out for you in that moment?
I would have to say, looking back, when I was 18 years old, I was working full-time in a restaurant, and I got my first Christmas bonus in my life. Maybe I was 19, I forget. I started working in the restaurant when I was 13. And I think the bonus was like $75 or $100, and I wanted to do something. I wanted to give back. So we didn't have Google back then. So... I think I had to look it up in the phone book. There was actually an orphanage around where I lived in Fall River, Massachusetts. And I was living by myself. I was in an apartment supporting myself. And I called them and I asked them what they needed. I wanted to give a donation. And they said, well, there's a lot of kids and here's the ages and any toys would be appreciated. So I went back to, I think it was like Zayre's, which is out of business now. And I bought some toys. and I spent my bonus. That was the beginning of my obsession about giving back.
And oh my gosh. I love that.
My mom just told this story to my boyfriend 2 weeks ago. So, and I'd forgotten all about it. That's why I have a mom.
That is so awesome. And so that really planted the seeds for you to step into the world of giving back, of standing up for causes and making a difference.
It did. And I have to tell you, for many, many years, I hid my giving back.
Oh, interesting.
I was raised Catholic. And I don't know if it was just embedded in us. You do things and you don't expect anything in reward and you don't talk about it. And so for years and years and years, I hid all of my charitable things that I did up until I had kids of my own. And my kids are now 19 and turning 21. And so that's when I really started to include my kids in it. And then I realized, well, look how happy it's making my children to give back. What about if I invited another family to do this project with me and another family and another family? And that's when I really embraced the impact we could have. We could do so much more together.
So tell us a little bit about your...
I hit it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. And so as you started to own it, what caused you to own it? And then what's the impact journey that you've been on? I mean, it started back with that orphanage. What are some of the ways that you've given back over the course of your lifetime?
Oh my gosh, so many things. So I always just felt like the universe just dropped everything in my lap. So I'll give you an example off the top of my head. I live in Connecticut, and many years ago, my daughter's 19, maybe she was like 7 or 8 then, there was a tornado in Springfield. And I was a stay-at-home mom. I worked part-time in the weekends as a chef. So I was home with my kids, getting the kids ready for school. And I was meeting a friend for lunch and a manicure. Middle of the week, average weekday, right? In between the soccer runs and all the other stuff. And there was a tornado in Springfield. And we had a tiny little kitchen, TV in our kitchen, because I didn't want a big TV in my house for my kids. And there was a tornado. And my daughter said, "Mommy, this is so close. This is terrible. What can we do?" And I went,
So she's got the gene too.
She's actually in a philanthropy sorority and she wants to join the Peace Corps. She's a nursing student. So I called my friend and I was like, "We have to cancel lunch and we're not having our nails done and blah, blah, blah." And she's like, "Oh man, here you go again." And so long story short, I called the Salvation Army. I was on the phone for 20 minutes trying to find out what we could do. And by the time my kids came home from school, there were cardboard boxes and bins, and I was making signs in front of my house, and I had found the charity. It took a long time. It was the Salvation Army. And so what we decided to do is I had my kids tape the signs and decorate the boxes, and we emailed out to the Boy Scout troop, the Girl Scouts. I was the scout leader. The soccer team, I enlisted 4 or 5 friends, and I decided to send an email and make a collection. So we did what they needed, men's right. clothing, toiletries, blah, blah, blah. And then I even put in the email, please have your kids, if you're going to run the errand, if you can bring your kids into the store to pick out the items, it's so much more impactful. Or if you're dropping it off, have your kids walk up to my house and put the bins there. And we had a yellow bench and people dropped our things for years on the bench. And then...
So you had a yellow bench that you kept at your house for years.
And people dropped donations off on the bench all the time.
And it was, oh my gosh.
Toiletries,
what a great thing to be known for and... for, you know, just to create that space. And what a simple way for any of our listeners could just say, I could have my own yellow bench.
So, yeah. And that's really so every time something fell right in my lap, I took action. Mm-hmm. And then I included other people because so many people felt so great. And then they would call me and say, "You know what? I really enjoyed doing that. Is there anything else? And another thing that happened maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, I started just by default again. I started collecting clothes and I built a community closet. I had a client who owned a daycare center in inner city Hartford, and I met with her. And she had all this extra space, and her clients were 17 to 21 year old woman who had babies and needed clothing. And I lived in an affluent town. So I decided, I said, well, what about one of those rooms upstairs? You know, can I bring some clothes? And she said, oh, that's great. And one room turned into four rooms, a community closet. My girlfriend donated racks. We had it like a boutique. So it's still, the page is open, but because of COVID, we stopped it. It's called Dorothy's Community Closet. And it was great. There goes the yellow bench again. So all of my friends in my community who brought, you know, clothing that was in dry cleaner bags. So I didn't have to dig through bins. And the main thing was I wanted people to shop with dignity. They've rifled through bins of crap before.
But you wanted the experience.
100% free, no strings. And it ended up that a lot of halfway houses, so people mentoring men right out of prison, they would come, they would bring them. I would go and pop over. Again, my poor kids schlepping the donations and schlepping the bags over. And we did this for years. And then that turned into people coming to shop, the homeless people coming and say, do you have any soap? Can I wash my hands? And I was like, oh, here I go again. So now I did blessing bags. And then I decided to include my clients, my community, kids, like, you know, teenagers. And so then I did this for like 4 years until COVID. I had all these little ambassadors. So you could put a bin out at your office and people could bring in their hotel soap, shampoo, or whatever. And then a handful of people would come and I would just have like wine and cheese and desserts and have a big party on a Sunday. I had a huge living room and gave everybody the bags. First, we went around and we did them in bags. And then I thought, well, we have so many purses. Wouldn't it be nice to put them in a purse? And, you know, the original story started because my daughter, we drove by a homeless woman. My daughter said, she just got her period. She was like 11. Mommy, what do homeless women do when they have their period?
Oh, where do they carry their tampons?
I said, I don't know. Or how do they get them? So I says, well, let me ask Dorothy from Dorothy's Community Closet. And I asked her and she said, oh, it's terrible. They go to McDonald's and they take the napkins out of the, she says, they don't buy them. Their food stamps doesn't pay for them. And so that's how the Purse Project and the Blessing Bags happened, from the man asking for soap and my daughter wanting to make a difference. And so we did this 3 times a year and we typically filled 250 purses. And it was amazing. Wow. So just taking action. And the more people I included, the better it was. And it was a win-win and everybody felt great. And I feel, I almost feel guilty. I feel so bad that I hid it for all of those years and just was a one woman show instead of bringing
expanding the community and inviting more people into the community. So this truly is a love of your heart. You can see that. And I know you, what's the organization you're in involved in now? Is it Carnitas Smile?
It's called Carnitas Smile. And it's a nonprofit and they are based out of Rhode Island, but they traveled to the Dominican Republic and I've traveled with them several times. And I brought the Blessing Bag Project to the Dominican. So they were doing a random acts of kindness where we would go around and drop off, you know, sneakers and clothing and toys, different things to the children. And I incorporated the Blessing Bags into that. And now it's a staple in what we do. And that's part of the fun is getting all of the volunteers together and filling the bags. And then I think four other towns, I know my sister in Massachusetts, another one in Connecticut. So 4 different other organizations, I helped coach through this Blessing Bag Project. I'm like, don't reinvent the wheel. Here's my form. Here's my this, you know, here's every, how many purses do we all have left over? Right.
Right. Right.
Also, you know, so people want to give, they just don't know how.
Right, right. So if somebody's listening and they're going, oh my God, I want to do this in my community, what would you recommend to them?
I would recommend they shoot me an email and I can give them a form and, you know, just enlist. I always feel like it's like movers and shakers, right? The people that know everybody.
Right.
People that know everybody, they have the list of people. And I've never had anybody not want to contribute, you know? Yeah. So it just starts with when that need comes in front of you, just take action. Yeah. You know, here that first, I'm always the one who hears unfortunate tragedy, such and such happened to someone's mom or whatever. Okay, let's get the meal train going, right?
Right.
I don't have to do everything. All it takes is that one person just to to rally. And it's just in me. I just love it so much.
Yeah. And you, and like you said, you've got the template that anyone can take and utilize in their communities. So let's talk about community, because you and I have this, we share this passion for community. This was one of the things when we were talking about it. How has connection and community really impacted your business? And share a little bit about what your business is.
So I am a holistic business coach. I'm a former chef, and I work with purpose-based entrepreneurial women who this is their second act, right? Yeah. They've already worked in corporate America and now they want to launch a business. And I'm trained in 8 different holistic modalities just for fun because I love it. And so because of that, I tend to get all of the yoga teachers and anybody who has a spiritual twist, something in them, they're attracted to the holistic part of it. Mm-hmm. And really what it is, so it's me coaching them, pulling out of them what they're excited and passionate about. We work together for 3 months or 5 months. And during that time, we incorporate a give back something into their business. So it's a win-win. You know, think about like Tom's Shoes, something like that.
Right.
Very small. So I can give you a quick example.
Sure.
On the intake form, our first coaching session, I asked them to, you know, rate areas of their life, which we've all done a million times. And I have contribution on there. And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, how are you giving back to your community?
Right.
You know, a scale from 1 to 10. Are you signing up to make a meal? Do you have a charity animal shelter that you collect blankets for? You know, where do you feel as a human being? Are you giving back? And most people will say, I really want to do more. You know, I'm a 2 or I'm a 3, or they need examples. They don't even really get what contribution is.
Right.
Right. So then I'll say, well, how would you feel about incorporating something into your business? And they're like, oh my gosh, I would love that. How would I possibly do that? So an example is, many years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I had this woman who's an inner city school teacher, her and her wife, and she wanted to really give back. She just didn't know how to do it. And she was launching a tutoring business and she wanted to be in 6 different towns or 5 different towns. Now she's in 10 with independent contractors and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, she's wonderful. And I said, well, let's just do a back to school drive, a backpack drive. She was like, oh, okay. And so then over the years, it's just morphed and morphed. And I just saw last week, I made a donation. She's still doing it till this day. And it's turned into a collaboration. Well, where are they going to drop the backpacks off? Well, do you have a friend who owns a little shop in town, a toy store, an ice cream shop, a dance studio? Oh, I have a friend who has an ice cream shop. Okay, great. Well, let's have that be the donation place. People can drop it off. Maybe she wants to offer a complimentary kitty cone if they drop it off and encourage the children to do it, right?
Right, right.
That's what it's about. They lead by example. And she's like, oh, this is great. This is great. And then it just morphed into like a diaper drive and, you know, all these other things. And she's still doing it. And she is my poster child for giving back. But that was just a really simple way. It's in line with her business. Her heart is there. She sees it every day as a school teacher. I just help my clients by holistically pulling out of them what they're excited about, right?
Exactly.
I'm not an animal person, so I'm not going to go work at an animal shelter, but maybe my client is.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's for them and what lights them up. And I read their body language when they get really excited. I'm like, okay, that's it.
That's it.
Go with that. When they go like, yeah, then we know, you know, not so much.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I have been engaged in nonprofits over the years. As you know, as an entrepreneur, I've always had nonprofits that I've been engaged in. And it is such a beautiful gift to be able to engage and make a difference and show up in that way. And I've built just lifetime friends through those connections. And it's been an important part of my community growing and being engaged in the community and how I show up in the community, because it's expanded my horizons so much. So I love this approach, and I often recommend to my clients that they find boards or some ways to engage and get involved. But I love your very active approach to saying, just go get involved. And where do you see the need and just go create? So it's really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. Let's talk about your work as a a business coach, and I know you talk about, I've heard you say the happiest CEO is the most successful CEO. Tell us a little bit more about that, because that made me just smile.
So, you know, it's all about life balance, right? So again, starting with the intake form when we're coaching, like where you are in your relationships, where are you with your health? Where are you with everything? And we're never going to be a 10 at everything. Right. We need to understand where we need to work. And two categories that I have people list on my intake form is list 15 ways that you like to have fun and 15 things that bring you joy. Mm. And I've had people literally cry when we do that.
Because they're not doing them.
They don't even know what it is. And I'm like, well, a bubble bath brings me joy. I take a bath twice a day, but it's not fun. I'm not in the tub with a rubber ducky splashing around singing, right? But it brings me joy.
Right.
Fresh flowers bring me joy. And so many of my clients, because again, they're 45, their kids are get older. This is their second act. They don't even know, because when you're in the thick of it with
they're balancing all the balls in the air.
You don't even know, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Say like, what, you know, what's fun for you? Oh, hearing my kids laugh. Okay, that's lame. Try again. Let's get something better, right? This is about you, you know, like, and so that's a big piece. You have to be happy. You have to be balanced. And I try to live every day like it's a 9, right? Mm-hmm. I want to have a 9 day every day. I want to have my me time. I want to have my family time. I want to feel like I served my clients. I want to help people and share. And the biggest thing I teach my clients, or I try to coach and mentor them, is share your best stuff. Give it all. Don't hold back. Mm-hmm. If you have a great tip or a great suggestion, somebody hops on a discovery call and you know they're not going to book and you know they don't have any money or whatever, still give it to them.
Right.
Give them what they need. Make the connection. Just give them your best stuff. If you have a PDF that will help them, share it. Give it.
Right. And it's, if that's the energy of serving and showing up in community, and what that comes back, just, I mean, it just comes back in spades to you when you show up in that way, that you're serving the people in your community in any way that you can, and opening up to, and you know, who knows, at that point they may really expand and grow and say, oh my God, I remember that with you. And you're not doing it for the sake of getting back. You're doing it for the sake of doing good in the world. And with that, well, the equilibrium comes. I mean, it's just a universal law. It's going to come back to you in spades in one shape or another.
Yeah. And one of the other things that just happened this morning, a colleague of mine is doing a walk to end Alzheimer's, and I grabbed my phone and I was ready to make my donation. I said, oh, my credit card is downstairs, so it's on my list. Sometimes it's a $10 donation and sometimes it's a $50. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, but any little bit, and I can never pass it up. I can never pass up a lemonade stand, because I was that little entrepreneurial kid, right?
Yeah.
And I raised my kids that way. Never pass a lemonade stand, or if they're selling seashells or rocks or whatever, little kids, you stop and you know, you pay them 3 times the amount and you make their day. It's that. So like I said, sometimes it's a $10 donation and sometimes it's $50 or sometimes it's $100. It's just that I see it and I feel like it's put in front of me and I have to do it. Mm-hmm. Not for anybody else. Who really knows if I made that donation or not, right?
Right.
It's not
right.
About that.
It's the energy of it. It's the energy of putting your gifts out into the world. And you know, it's a gift to be in the position to be able to gift. And so, like you said, that spectrum can vary, but you know, to be in that and just to really honor that and to be appreciative of that and to show up in it is a powerful way to be in life.
Every little bit helps,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the legacy you want to leave in the world? I'm guessing, but.
Well, I mean, you know, I want to inspire other people to give back.
Yeah.
And it lights me up when somebody sends me an email and says, would you be offended if I started a first project in my town? And I'm like, yes, let me send you the form. Come on. You know, like, I want to inspire the people to give back, because I know, and the more people you include, because I hid it for so
right.
many years.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I almost feel guilty. Like I could have included so many more people, but I know that's not what it's about. It's about the journey.
Right.
You know, if I hadn't gone down that journey, it's amazing how kids change everything, right?
Right.
It took my daughter saying, "Mommy, what are we going to do? How can we help?"
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And something else I'm really passionate about is the kids, DCF children. Mm-hmm. I was never a foster child. But I, even as a kid, if I heard that story of someone that's, you know, it was very rare to have a foster child in our school, my heart broke and I couldn't even imagine having to go through that. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved out when I was 18 on my own and I lived in the city amongst, you know, different people than what I was used to growing up with, that's when it really hit home. And that's, like I said, when I was 18, 19, when I wanted to start volunteering. So that's another passion of mine. So I'm drop your prom dresses off here. Let's, you know, recycle your this. Let's go on. And people will call me all the time. So, hey, I know you're going to know this. Where can I bring blah, 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 stuffed animals? Where can I bring, you know, da, 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 da. And I don't have an answer. I'll find it. And so I wanted my own nonprofit, right? I thought for sure I'm going to, you know, that's why I named my company.
Right.
Co. So I could grow with it. Then I could have a corporation. But then when I stumbled on Courage to Smile, I realized like, oh wait, that's an ego thing. I don't need to start my nonprofit. Somebody else is already doing it. Why don't I just help them and support them?
Right.
So that was a big aha moment for me.
I love that. And I think that's something for all of us to really hear, because so often our ego gets into the game and wants to shape how we're showing up or what we're doing. How did you catch your ego in that moment? I mean, what was there that you said, oh, that's my ego. What happened?
Well, she was doing exactly, my friend who started the nonprofit was doing exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to go on these service trips and include other people, without having to add the religious component to it. And mm-hmm. all of these trips have the religious component. And when I went on the trip, I had an aha moment in meditation. We meditate on the roof every morning. And I had an aha moment in meditation and I shared it with her. And I said, you know, I went on this trip thinking, oh, I'm going to get some great tips to start a nonprofit. And now I just realized I don't need to start a nonprofit. You've already done everything that I would have wanted. You know, and after that, when we came home, she invited me to serve on her board. And so before I go on the trip, I collect shoes, I collect toiletries, I collect toys for the kids. And I go over with bins and big, huge beat up suitcases that I won't throw away because I bring them there and they say, oh, I'm just going to leave them. Then I take them back and fill them up. And so again, I'm including the community. When I'm there, I'm so excited to take photos and tag them on social media that they did that.
Yeah.
Here's your donations. I studied Kabbalah and my Kabbalah group gave me, I think it was $150. They cut donations together and they wanted it to go for food for the children. So we made a special trip on our way into the village and we bought rice and beans and different things. And I think we fed 6 families with big, huge bins. And so as we were delivering it, I was able to take the photos and do a video and send it. And during one of the meditations, like they all watched it together as a group and it was their money that they collected. And so to me, like that is amazing.
I would agree with that. You know, it's really interesting. I've sat on the board of the Women's Foundation of Colorado for multiple years, and I actually just left this spring, and it was a lot of different things that I was too many things in the air. And part of the other, you know, that was one part of it was I was balancing too many things and I wanted to simplify. And on the other hand, part of what's really calling to me is more of that one-on-one connection with, you know, with the community that I'm engaging with. And that's what you're describing there. And as a foundation, we were donating to a lot of, you know, we were donating over $1 million a year out to Colorado nonprofits, but we weren't getting that frontline connection. And I think as I'm looking for my what's next in my philanthropy, that's one of the things that I'm going to really be looking for. It's like, you know, because like you say, going on a trip where you're going and you're being with people and that just, and taking the pictures and sharing with others. I think all of that is just so beautiful. What you're
whole
doing.
Other level.
Yeah.
you know, what you're doing here is pretty amazing.
It was
interviewing people to inspire others to give back and to share real life stories is pretty powerful.
It was really amazing. I mean, it was 10 years that I sat on, you know, I was either in their board or in some form working with them. So, and before that I was American Diabetes Association. So I've done the board side of it, and now I'm like, okay, where's this next little piece here? And I'm just opening my eyes up to it and paying attention to it.
Well, this podcast is doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is part of, you know, it's like when the stories that we tell here, they're really about how people are giving back in the world and showing up in the world. So where can people learn more about you and your work?
So my website is ginajohnson.co, and I have an Instagram page and a Facebook page. And again, if anybody is looking to do a purse project, which is so fun, I have the templates for it. It's really just a form of the connections, you know, the donations. But I'm open to anyone wanting to have a conversation. If they really feel inspired to add a give back to their business, you know, I would love to have a conversation with you about it and see.
I like the purse project idea. And I'm actually got an event coming up at the end of September. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get that template from you, because that would be a fun thing to integrate into it. It's our first live gathering back together.
Yes.
So I may reach out for you to that and just have that conversation with you.
I feel like as leaders and coaches and influencers, you know, anyone who has an opportunity for people to listen to, you know, every retreat or event or gathering, it's something. What's the need? And I never know what it is, but the universe always puts it right in front of me. Oh, such and such needs socks. Oh, okay, great. I have an event next week. Let me send out an email. I don't care if it's already gone out in the empty route. I'll just send an email like, last minute, if anybody wants to donate to da 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 da, right? They feel great. They stopped at TJ Maxx and bought, or Stop and Shop and bought a couple of packages of socks and put them in for the kids or for whatever it is, you know? So that's something else too. It doesn't have to be big. Every tiny little bit helps.
Yeah.
And I think being on the front line and actually seeing it and putting in people's hands and helping them get beds and all, you know, sheets and everything else that I've done over the years, I've seen firsthand. But that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
It's equally as important for the person who writes the check, right? Or who drops the donations off at a, you know, local something or another. It's not just about, oh, you need
just whatever. Yeah.
It's different.
Whichever piece of it.
I'm a hands-on worker bunny kind of, you know, worker bee person. So that's not right for everyone. You have to find really what's right with you. Of course, you know that after all of your years.
Yeah. So the final, this, I know we've got a hard close here. So I want to make sure we get our final question in, because we could keep talking about this and I love this conversation. But the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Every little bit helps. Every little bit counts.
Mm-hmm.
Lead with your heart and make sure you're not saying no to you by saying yes to someone else.
Mm. That's a really good one. And that's the balancing, right? It's doing that well. So awesome.
And if you're showing up at an event exhausted and feeling like you're taken advantage of, don't volunteer at it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Gina, this has been so much fun. Thank you for sharing all your stories. Thank you for sharing all the good work that you're doing in the world and you have done for so long, and just the inspiration. I know this is going to inspire people into action. So thank you for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much, Cammie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to collaborating with you. And you know, when you find what it is you're looking to do, maybe I can support you in some way.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammiegelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.